this Sunday evening. I wonder why more people will not want to come. What is it that is barring them from coming? Oh, dear friends, can you give it a thought and see what you can do and what I can do? Today is the Lord's Day, the day in which we should think of heavenly things. I tried to do internet. I didn't do it myself. I thought I might get some ideas about how many people believe the Lord is coming back. You know, to my horror, I didn't do it, but I asked Jean to help me. Jean is our office helper and administrator. It was a shocking result that I gave up on internet. Do you know that so many of the Christian countries, Christian institutions, Bible seminaries, and the personnel do not believe Jesus rose from the dead? If they believe in the dead Savior, how can the dead Savior return to us? Now, let me ask you, do you believe Jesus is coming back again? And if so, what for, you ask? What is Jesus coming for? Oh, dear friends, these are not theoretical questions. These affect your very life, everyday life, how you live. What do you think? How you plan for the future, for your children, for your family? All these are tied in intimately with how you feel about Jesus coming back. Do you believe that Jesus is coming? So let us ask ourselves, oh yes, my friends, it's never too hard and too difficult to test your own faith. Do I believe? Oh, dear friends, if not for the belief that my Savior, who said in his wonderful book, this King James Bible, that all of you hold so dear, says, let not your heart be troubled. I know, ever since I told you, says the Lord Jesus, ever since I told you, I am going to leave you. What is all this? Jesus, you are going to leave us. So they were so worried. Today is the test of your faith. How do you know that Jesus is coming again? And what is he going to do when he comes? Do these things bother you? So, instead of trying to learn something from the internet, I thought it is far better we search our own hearts and learn from the Word of God. So as we think and question ourselves about what the internet can inform us about, what those people which live in Christian countries, so-called, and yet do not believe Jesus is coming again, that Jesus rose from the dead, and he is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our judge. Oh, do you believe? Firstly, do you believe there is a God? You say, what questions are these? What kind of questions? I said, these are basic questions. Some of us theoretically believe, but in actual function and life and living, live as though there is no God. So I ask you, is there a God? Really? Examine yourself. Is there a God in my life? And if so, how does He impact my life? So the next question I ask you, is God real? Is your God real? Is He alive? You know, some people really think that God is dead. And there are books written on God is dead by theologians. And so it may be some of us here, you know, Singapore is getting to be a very highly sophisticated, mechanized, and very advanced, comparable to the most advanced countries in the world. So much so that when you talk of Jesus returning, oh yes, in the brain, in the mind, He comes to me every day. So they say, I say, is your God really alive? These very strange confessions of faith are given by Satan. Satan gives temptations and discouragements and ideas that do not help at all. Higher education does not help when it comes to second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Now you ask me, what do you believe? What do you know? I know. Here is my confession. I confess and I know He is the Creator, my Savior. Is He yours? What does it make? What difference does it make? Whether you believe or don't believe? Well, let me give you my testimony. Because when I was 10, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. At a meeting of Dr. John Sung, which he held in the city of Mua, some of you come from there. You know where is Mua? It is in the state of Johor, about 2 hours drive from here. Maybe, sorry, 3 hours drive. You don't drive two hours. It's too fast. So if you drive for that time, you will arrive in the city of Mua. And it was the doctor's last meeting. And he asked, how many of you young people would like to give your lives to serve the Lord? Give your lives to serve the living Savior. I put up my hands. He says, please come along to the prayer room and He'll pray for you. There the Spirit of God took over my life so that when I was 44, I gave my life to the Lord. In actual practice, when I resigned from the university, I've told this story a few times. So you've heard it, you say, ah, yeah, it's that same old story. It is the same old story, but it is worth your listening again and again and again. When you sit in the chair, this is a special chair. Is called the chair of the Faculty of Medicine in Obstetrics and Gynecology. And you are the professor there. What do they say? The people ask me, hey, Now, do you regret you resign? I say, I resign for something better, better than obstetrics and gynecology. Delivering people's babies for them and doing other things. So much so that our hospital in Singapore became number one in the world, you know? Did you know? And when you are the head there, to resign is madness. Are you following? Do you say to resign is madness? Yes, that's why they asked me. Did you regret it? When I resigned, my fellow countryman, Koto Chinchai, no relative of mine, although we share the same surname, he says, come and see me immediately, thinking that there was some problem that he could solve. I went to see him. And he says, why did you resign? I said, Dr. Toh, I resigned to serve a different master, not you. Nothing wrong with you, you're all right. But I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus and bring people, give them second life. Ah, he says, you're mad, you go. I was mad, I went. And I've never regretted. I read in the papers when Dr. Toh Chin Chai died, he also confessed that he was converted a Christian and he died a Christian. I do not know what kind of Christian. I've not met the wife to talk to her, although she had been my patient. So this is what it means to give your life to serve the Lord, to follow the Master, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords and of the whole wide earth. Maybe you think, oh, that old man is rambling away. He must be a little mad. Possibly. But how do I know all these things? How do I know the King? Well, because the King James Bible tells me so. All of you carry the King James Bible. Some of you think, possibly, that it is like any Bible, just another Bible. Let me tell you, you are quite wrong. This is the Bible, the only Bible that tells you what you ought to know. The Word of God is in this Bible, unadulterated, not manipulated or changed in any way. It is the Holy Bible. So please hold it fast and follow it, because this is God's Word. And it tells me exactly how we came about. Creation, not evolution. Oh, nowadays, if you think you are created, they say you have to have your head examined. In case you are raised, you are being led astray. So they say. My dear friends, I quote a verse from the book of 1 Corinthians. What does it say? Do you know who wrote this? Who wrote it? A man called Saul, who went around like a terror, killing Christians, arresting them, and putting them into jail, because he thought they were spoiling the Jewish religion, because they believe in a Savior who rose from the dead and who says he is coming again, like we do. So he was so enraged that there could be some people in their right mind thinking and believing in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, everybody knows that, sent to the death, like a man being sent to the gallows, he's hung, he's dead and gone. So he thought that until Jesus met him. Until Jesus met him. I say, if you have any doubts, pray that the Lord will speak to you one day. You say, he never speaks to me. I say, you're wrong. In this book, he speaks to you anytime you read it. So have faith. So in this verse, I tell you what my motivating verse is. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit. Please understand, when we sing the songs of heaven, when we sing the songs of Jesus and of God, and of our faith, it is singing with Spirit and with the understanding. This is exactly what Paul is saying about in these two verses, in this verse. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Now I will give this verse to encourage you. When you are serving the Lord faithfully, sometimes you get discouraged. And here is encouragement for you. Jesus says to you, someone who is following him, maybe I'm following the wrong leader. Maybe Jesus is dead. Ah, the Lord Jesus speaks to you. He speaks to you from heaven. And he says, look, I come quickly. Don't give up your faith. I will come and give every man according to his work, how he serves me, according as his work shall be. I say, what an encouragement. Dearly beloved, you may have followed the Lord Jesus 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, maybe 60 years or more. But hear what the Savior says. Behold, I come quickly. It will not be long. When you meet him, when you see him, you say, thank you, Lord. You know, the prospect of Jesus returning is so exciting, so wonderful, and so promising. I say, dear friends, pray for greater faith and pray for greater endurance for your spirit to know that the Lord is on the way. You say, who is Jesus anyway? Well, he answers you here. He says, I am more than what you think. I am Alpha and Omega. What is Alpha and Omega? You don't need to study Greek, no. It is easily explained to you. Jesus says, I am the Creator, Alpha, the one who began everything in the beginning. And I'm Omega. You say, are you a watch? I wear an Omega watch. And it is a very reliable, fashionable watch, but no more fashionable or reliable than my Seiko. My Seiko is $130. It is working very well for over 20 years. It's still very good. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the Creator, and the judge of all things, all life. So this is the explanation. I am the creator. I'm the judge of all things. Are you ready? I'm coming back soon. Do you believe it? So, what I said, I give to you again. Do you believe it? Do you believe these words? He is coming. If you believe, go and bring a friend, that this hall will be filled next week. We must do our bit. Now, please, we will read God's word, study God's word, to know why were the disciples so unhappy, because Jesus told them he was leaving them. And I say, there is nothing better than reading from the word of God in the book of John's Gospel. 14, 15, 16, 17. Just these three or four chapters, and you'll be very comforted. John's Gospel, chapter 14, the first three or four verses will so much encourage you to serve the Lord, to follow Him, and to prepare for His return. Jesus says to you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Of course. You put up your hand very fast. You say, Lord, yes, I believe in you. I say, go and be a witness and serve Him more diligently. Jesus says to you, don't be troubled, because I've told you. Because Jesus had announced He was going to die, but He was going to rise and ascend to heaven. Do you know that? This is a bit of history. Now Jesus says, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Easy, I tell you. Hey, don't believe in me anymore. I've been telling you a lot of nonsense. But here He says, don't be sad because I've told you I'm going. I'm going for one purpose. What is that purpose? A very plausible, reasonable, and something they expect. He's going to prepare a place for all of us. This is what He is doing. Are you comforted? The Lord says to you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You know, many people wonder, what is Jesus coming for? Here is one of the functions, one of the reasons why He is coming back. What for? For you, for me. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Much, much better than what you can imagine in Singapore. Today, our housing is world class, getting better and better, better in quality and affordability. Amazing. But Jesus says, in my Father's house are mansions, much better than anything you can find in Singapore. And besides, you don't have to pay any rental or repairs or insurance, nothing. You just get it free. How wonderful. And this is the reason He says, I tell you I'm going, I'm telling you I'm coming back again. If I go, I will come. When my job is done, I will come for you. Are you comforted, dear friends? This is actual fact to all of us. Now, chapter 14, 15. Now, 15. Jesus had witnessed, even after the Lord's Supper was taken, the disciples were squabbling among themselves. There was something bugging them and they were quarreling. So this is the teaching for them. John's Gospel 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12. This is my commandment to you. Listen carefully. And the same commandment to all of you here. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Is Jesus your friend? Not really, because we were enemies of God. We were the cause of sending him to the cross to die for us, to bear our sins. And we are the cause of his grief and his suffering. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. Now, what must we do? Verse 14. Verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, chapter 16. This one is a very precious chapter. You may not believe, you may not know, but I'm telling you, this is very precious. Chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I told you, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to heaven. And so, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 16. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. The real reason and benefit coming to you, it is expedient for your sakes that I go away. For if I go not away, the most important, the Comforter, who is the Spirit of God that comes to you and me, will not ever come down. Never. Jesus says, when I go up, I will send the Holy Spirit Comforter to you. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, if you turn backwards two chapters, chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, what a promise. What a promise from the Savior to each one of us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So now, verse 7 and 6 and 7 of chapter 16 explains why Holy Spirit must come down. Jesus says in verse 6, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary for your blessing and for your good, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Do you know this? This is theology. God the Father is always in heaven. He doesn't live there. He sent the Son down to die for us. And when He has finished His work, died on the cross for you and me, rose from the dead for you and me, and after 40 days, He rose to heaven. And then He sends the Holy Spirit down. Did you ever sometimes wonder? Jesus, in 3 years, gathered 12 disciples. And of the 12 followers, one turned to be a traitor. A traitor is one who betrays you. And Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. So there he betrayed the master. This is the price. And he lost his soul. Oh, dear friends, you do sometimes wonder. Now the Holy Spirit Comforter comes down when Jesus goes back. And He says, if I don't go back, He will not come. But this is part of the divine plan, that Jesus was not a failure, but this was a master's strategic move. Jesus comes down, gathers 12 disciples, one boy, because he was useful as a betrayer, is a traitor, leaving 11 disciples. Then in one day, on the day of Pentecost, how many believed? 3,000 in one day. When you turn to the next chapter, once the disciples preach again, 5,000 believed in one day. In 2 days, 8,000. Whereas in 3 weeks, three years, how many? 11. This is the wonder of God's plan. Now, do you believe the Lord is coming? Oh, dear friends, bring a friend, fill up these empty pews, and prove your Savior to them. Tell them that the Savior has saved you. Tell them, go and be my witnesses. So says the Lord Jesus. Do you? Have you? I examine myself. I would say, dear friends, to everyone who is a non-believer that comes to me, I testify to them the need for them to quickly believe on the Savior and find life everlasting. This is your privilege and my privilege. Let's go and tell them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, may we, Thy disciples, be faithful also, as the 11 turned out to be faithful witnesses for Thee, to go and tell the good news, Jesus saves. O Lord, help us to be good witnesses, to be good servants for Thee. For we pray this in the Lord's most precious name. Amen.